How do these scriptures from different religions, what do they say about blaming others and circumstances? We will find out they discourage blaming others or circumstances, and they emphasize instead personal accountability and spiritual maturity. In Christianity and Judaism, the Bible stresses personal responsibility beginning in Genesis, where shifting blame to others is portrayed as the root of human brokenness. Believers are called to examine their own actions. That's in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, 4 to 5, rather than complain. We're used to complaining about God, allowing all these things to happen, instead of us knowing that, yes, we cause these things happening in the world. In the Quran, teaches that individuals are ultimately responsible for their choices. In Surah Ibrahim 14:22, chapter 14, verse, it is explained that on the day of judgment, even Satan will refuse to take the blame for human sins, declaring that he only whispered to them why the human made the final choice. And in Hinduism, through the concept of karma, as given in Bhagavad Gita, individuals are taught that they are the architects of their own destiny. Rather than blaming external factors, followers are encouraged to take radical responsibility for their thoughts, actions, and reactions. And in Buddhism, the teachings of the Buddha focus on the concept of dependent origination, and the eternal roots of suffering starts with what? Greed, hatred, and delusion, rather than assigning blame to external circumstances. So we're encouraged to stop reacting to the world and instead observe how our own intentions shape the experiences. It is true that people and circumstances in our lives influence us, but they do not ultimately determine our lives or our direction of our lives. What shapes our path is our choices. Understanding this brings us to the deeper meaning of karma, and I'll go into that more. Because many people misunderstand karma. When life becomes difficult, they say, "This is my karma," as though it means punishment. When things go well, they say they have good karma, as though karma is a reward system. But karma is not a system of punishment and reward at all. As described in the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, karma is how life remembers itself. Please pay attention to that. Remembers itself within you. How life remembers itself within you. So let that truth settle in. Karma does not come from outside of us. It does not come from society. Karma does not come from God or from destiny handing us a scorecard. Karma arises within us. Every thought, every emotion, every action leaves an impression. Over time, those impressions shape our nature because they become a groove in our subconscious mind. How we think, how we feel, and how we respond to life, then it becomes who we are. This is why people often repeat the same patterns, even when they sincerely want to change. It is not simply a lack of willpower. It is the unconscious memory within us continuing to operate. That's why the saints and the great teachers tell us, prevention is better than to cure. If something is going to, you better put your will to it, like, I'm not going to do it. If you stand your ground, like we're in Florida, they go, stand your ground and don't take the bait. And every time you do that, then it goes away. It can overcome and dictate the life. But if we yield even a little bit, before we know it, it takes over. And we become the yo-yo, you know, dribbling us here and there according to its own way instead of us. When we live unconsciously, which is what happens to most of us, we are governed by these stored impressions. We react instead of respond. We repeat instead of transform. We become trapped by patterns we do not even recognize. And that's why, instead of reacting, what did Jesus encourage us to do? You take charge and respond. That's why I say, if they slap you on this, turn the other cheek and let them, you know. But if they slap you and you go back and do bosa, there will be two fighting before you know it. Plenty of blows, and you never know where it will end. But when we become aware, when that awareness enters, freedom begins. Because somebody wants to fight you, by all means, if they know you are not taking the bait, eventually, even that wears them down, they go away. I've had few occasions in my life where, you know, they did everything to make me angry, you know. I didn't react. And that was a big deal for me, because I don't take crap from anyone. You can tell when spirit is, you're allowing spirit to dwell. And eventually that person, after the whole shenanigan, actually apologized. They actually acknowledged that they were trying to goad me to react. So when awareness enters, freedom begins. We become conscious of what has been guiding us, because now we're aware. We take responsibility for our lives, not through guilt, but through understanding. Human beings often act according to their inner nature. What is your nature? Sound like that commercial. What's in your wallet? What is your nature? We act according to that inner nature, not merely according to their wishes, because now we are aware. This is why spiritual traditions teach that we are not the ultimate doer. Life itself is moving through us. This understanding does not mean we are helpless. It means we begin to see the difference between the ego's claim of, I am doing everything myself, and the deeper truth that all action is supported by forces beyond our individual control. I always chuckle when somebody says, well, I pulled myself up by this strap of my boots, as if God wasn't present. The ego says, I achieved this by myself. But even our ability to act, to think, to breathe, and to make an effort exists because of the gift of life itself. I mean, if you are not alive, all these things, will they take place? Can you go to work? If the body decides to kaput, what are you going to do? I mean, may God bless his soul and peace to him. May God bless his family. Senator Lindsey Graham, I just read that. He just died. He wasn't sick. He just came back from Ukraine. And he was supposed to appear on TV show today. And then he had a cardiac arrest. And then he's gone at 71. Poof. Nobody expected that. Even the president, I just spoke to him last night. Just like that. When the owner of life comes and says, it's your time to go, there's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter whether you're a pauper, you are the president or the wealthiest person. No. I hope they gave him a heads up, at least for his own sake, where he said, Lord, okay, thank you for what you allow me to do. Now I can go home. I mean, when I read it, I was shocked. Like, what do you mean he's dead? Just like that. So when we think we have tea tomorrow, you don't know what God's plan is. Life is walking through you. You can't stop it. I mean, if he was sick, people would say, well, he's been sick. No. Probably he was even trying to maybe have a snack or something. And then the owner of life said, come on, let's go. You can have all the snacks you want on the other side. May God comfort his family and all his friends and associates. Life flows through us. By forces beyond our individual control. Human life can be understood as a combination of energy and information. The energy is life itself, and that comes from the Creator. The information is karma because it's there and it's up to us to be aware, and then you will understand it and then you can take charge. Like, why do I act like this? Why is this going on? That's the information. It's there. The accumulated impressions that influence our experience, that is karma. It's not a punishment, it's not a reward. So according to these teachings, karma is not limited to this single lifetime. It is carried across many experiences and incarnations. After all, this is not our first journey, this is not our first rodeo. So you can imagine how many lifetimes each of us has had. And all the information is gathered in the storehouse, how, you know, our thoughts, our words, our actions, and deeds. So the storehouse of impressions is vast, is humongous. Either Walmart or Amazon warehouse can't even touch it. Yeah, we do not bring the entire storehouse into one lifetime because we won't be able to cope with it. So out of from that storehouse, they just bring a little bit of that information. Into this lifetime, only a portion is expressed. And that portion, according to the holy ones, said it influences the basic circumstances of our lives. That's what determines the body we inhabit. What kind of body do you bring in that particular incarnation? The family we're born into. And the situations we naturally encounter. That's why they said, your last thought will become the beginning of your new life when it shows up. This is why everyone does not begin life from the same place. Because we all think differently, we all said things differently, we all act differently. Some are born into comfort. Others face hardship from the beginning. Some encounter opportunities easily, while others must struggle for every step. And when we see this, who do we blame? We blame God. We blame our parents. We blame everything except ourselves. Stop the blame game. But the most important factor is not only what we receive, it is how we respond. That's why they always say that. If you don't know failure, you can't really celebrate success. Challenges helps us to really rekindle and find out who we really are. How we respond to circumstances makes a huge difference. Because you can have a windfall and win the lotto and everything is fine, and then you blow it. We've had stories of those who won lotto and the money didn't last. We've had celebrities who come into money and before you know it, they blow it. So it's how we respond. Our response creates the future we are living into. At times, karma can feel like a trap. You may think, I'm trying to overcome my karma, but I keep making the same mistakes. Because these are things I've said, like, Lord, okay, so I brought all these things that I'm working on. Now I'm making new ones. When would this end? It would become a long cycle every time. And the whisperer was, live consciously. Become aware. Because when you are aware and you do your best, you will find that you will limit the number of things you do that will cause karma. Why does karma feel like a trap? We should ask ourselves that. Because so much of it operates unconsciously. Because that's what Spirit said to me. Become aware, live consciously, and you will see for yourself. And that's what the holy ones do. Remember the story of Babala Hirma and Shaya? The cat is trying to eat out of his plan. He switched the cat, oh, move it away. It's not like he pushed the cat, just the wave of his hand, the cat rolled over and I said, oh my God, I forgot. Unconsciously, okay, revive the cat and learn that, okay, I better pay more attention. The divine lives in this body. So if we don't live consciously, we'll continue to live through patterns we have not yet become aware of. Think about this. Anger rises before we think. Fear influences our choices. Desire pulls us towards certain actions. We compare ourselves with others and chase what we believe will complete us. Because when we live this way, life becomes repetitive, you know. We continue the same cycles and wonder why we cannot break free. We want to break free, become aware. The answer is awareness, as Spirit said. When the mind constantly focuses on objects of desire, what is your object of desire? If your object of desire is God and you walk towards that, oh, you'll be free. But if it's other things, so ask yourself, what's in your wallet? What's your object of desire? When we focus on the attachment is created, I would rather be attached to the oneness of God than, you know. We begin to believe that what we want is necessary for our happiness. Not that I need what we want. And from attachment comes the cycle of expectation. If you expect, fear can come in. Disappointment will show up if you are not careful, and suffering, because you have this expectation, and if it's not what Spirit wants for you, it can even lead to depression. So you think, oh, I'm a failure, I'm not getting what I want. Who says you're a failure? Change your orientation. The path of transformation begins when we become aware of these patterns. Awareness allows us to see karma, not as punishment, but as information. It shows us what has been operating within us. And once we can see it, we can begin to change it. Having said all of that, let us bring this reflection to a close. But let us not forget the central truth. Stop the blame game and take responsibility for who we are. So now allow me to leave you with a story that beautifully illustrates this principle. A master was speaking with one of his disciples. The master said, "It is entirely your fault." The disciple stared at him in disbelief, like, "What? Master, what? My fault?" He replied, said the disciple, "But master, I try every single day. I meditate, I study the scriptures, yet the world constantly interrupts me." The world, not the word. "My mind wanders, my emotions rise, and the peace I find disappears in an instant. How can this possibly be my fault?" And that's why they say, even if you go and stay in a cave, your thoughts go with you, the same thing will still happen. Without saying another word, the master stood and motioned for the disciple to follow him. "Come along." They walked through the monastery courtyard, you know, until they arrived at an old stone well. "Look inside," the master said. "Tell me what you see." The disciple looked into the water. "I see my reflection." The master picked up a small stone and dropped it into the well. Ripples spread across the surface. "And now?" the master asked. "I cannot see clearly anymore. The water has been disturbed." The master smiled. "As the well lost its ability to reflect," he asked the disciple, No, the disciple answered, the water simply needs to become still again. The master nodded. Exactly. You blame the world for every ripple. The wind will blow, stones will fall, people will disappoint you. What will happen? Emotions will rise. Life will never stop creating disturbances. Yeah, you expect peace to remain without learning how to return to stillness. That's your responsibility. You can't change that, but the thing you can control is find out to go back to that place of stillness, of peace. Now, what did the disciple do? The disciple lowered his head because now he gets it. So it is my fault. Not because the world disturbs you, the master replied, but because you insist that your peace depends upon a world that never will. Things will happen. Then the master added one final insight. You do not lose peace because your mind is disturbed. You lose peace when you believe the disturbance should not exist. And I have to learn this. Lord, why do you allow people to killing each other? Why do you allow this? Lord said, look, child, that is beyond what you should worry about. This will happen as long as humans have thoughts and yeah. But you can pray for their minds to be changed. And but start with yourself. Instead of everybody bringing in that my door and blaming me, I didn't put those thoughts. You guys have the free choice, but you chose to do all these things. You do not lose peace because your mind is disturbed. You lose peace when you believe the disturbance should not exist. These words echo the teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because purity of heart, that is the stillness, is not perfection. It is an interior life that has become clear, undivided, and free from the distortions of blame, resentment, and self-deception. Thomas Merton, who is a well-known Christian contemplative, it expresses it this way. We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. You can't give what you don't have. If you are not at peace with yourself, why would you be at peace with others? It reminds us that lasting peace is always an inside job. So if you're going to steal something, steal that stillness and peace within you so that you can be at peace. Another contemplative insight expresses the same truth. The goal of contemplation is not to think more clearly, but to see more clearly. And that only happens when the self stops defending itself. Remember the song sometimes we will sing, day by day, dear Lord of the three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. When the ego stops protecting its stories, and the ego knows how to tell all kinds of stories, is the greatest storyteller. Blaming others and justifying his reactions, awareness awakens. When the ego stops protecting these stories, awareness awakens. Only then can transformation begin. So the next time you find yourself blaming circumstances, other people, or the noise of the world for your lack of peace, pause and ask yourself, dear Mr. or Mrs. Ego, can you please go and sit down right there? When I'm done, I'll come and chat with you. So ask yourself this, am I willing to walk to my own well and honestly examine the quality of the water within me? What am I refusing to take responsibility for in my life? What would change if I did? So these questions are not meant to produce guilt. They are invitations to freedom. Freedom from ego and all other things. The moment we stop blaming the world is the moment we reclaim the power to transform ourselves. May we all be blessed with the awareness to see clearly, the humility to take responsibility, the courage to change what is within us, and the wisdom to live from the stillness that no circumstance can take away. Amen.